Today is January 6, 2016, and this is episode number 340 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, cranky in Las Vegas. Get the full story on anything you cover, anything we cover, actually. It's the two of us, right?
I don't, it depends on how cranky you are, because it could be just you if you're really cranky.
One way or another, you can visit MacObserver.com/ACM. If you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show, shoot us a note at ACM@MacObserver.com.
So you're cranky.
Cigarette smoke.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we haven't even gotten to the show floor yet.
No, we haven't.
So I get cranky on the show floor.
Yeah, you do.
I'm just a cranky guy. Man, high maintenance.
Yeah, one of my favorite things when we're on the show floor together and we go to a booth and they start giving you their pitch and you've been at the expo for a couple of days and you're done and they start talking and you're like, just tell me why I should care.
Well, you know, I kind of feel like that's a favor to both of us.
It is. I mean, it entertains me.
They've done their spiel. Right. And they can't, they just can't be enjoying their spiel.
No, well, some of them may, but your point is totally appropriate because, yeah, they're, at that point, they are wasting your time. They're wasting their time. And it's a busy place.
You know, it's my problem with CES. I know that you've heard this, Jeff. I don't know that we've ever talked about this to our readers. The difference between CES and Macworld. No, the defunct Macworld is that no one at CES is having a good time.
Yes, that's true. Yeah, I suppose that the after hours events, some of those people are having fun at.
For sure.
On the floor.
Yeah, on the floor is what I'm talking
about.
People
just typically are not having fun.
And it's all like just trying to meet as many people as you can. And there's a lot less of a connection made between vendors and we in the press here than I felt was the case at Macworld. And we're talking about, you know, we're mostly meeting with companies that deal with the Apple ecosystem.
Yeah, that's true.
Not exclusively, but mostly.
Right. But we don't have that friendly feeling that we had.
The camaraderie, the comrades in arms, two of them.
Yes. Yeah, because they haven't been to battle yet. They haven't lost
it. They haven't, right. So they've got all, you're right, theoretically, most of their limbs. So, yeah, anyway, it's different. And I think the part of why I get cranky during CES is because, especially now, is because, you know, like, I'd rather be at Macworld.
Sure. Well, at Macworld, I feel like everyone that I encounter, I know, and they're a friend. At CES, I do see a lot of people that I know, but it's not the same. I'm glad that
there's more distance.
There's more distance. I'm glad, though, that at least we have this, because there's people that I used to see at Macworld and then sometimes at CES. And that would be it. But now, this is the only place I'll see them.
And don't get me wrong. I'm aware that I'm complaining about being in Vegas on the company dime. I'm aware of that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm aware that I probably shouldn't, that it shouldn't be. You have to, I don't know, man. All of the things that make Vegas, Vegas, get in the way of us doing our jobs, and we don't really have we don't have any time to really enjoy them. But there certainly are a lot of really cool evening events for sure.
Yeah, that's true.
A lot of high dollar stuff.
Yes,
higher dollar stuff than was ever at Macworld.
Yes,
but with the exception of some of the stuff that IDG itself threw.
Right, but you know, this is a different event.
It's a totally different event.
Yeah, totally different.
Different market. Macworld was aimed at end users, and then the press were there too. Here, the CES is aimed at retailers, distributors, manufacturers, vendors, and the press. No end users.
Right.
Except for where those, you know, that right. were all end users in some capacity.
Right. But it's not a public event.
It's not a public event. No. And that's a big part of that different feel.
Yeah. Everyone that's here is here for business.
God, we haven't even gotten to the show floor yet because it opened
like 90 minutes ago.
Maybe. Yeah. And we just finished TDO.
Right.
And now we're doing this.
Right. Yeah. It's already been so busy of a morning that I don't think either of us have even had time to eat yet.
Nope.
That's how much we love you people. Mm-hmm. We have foregone food mm-hmm. to be here because, yeah, we love you.
But we do. We have a glorious view this time. We're staying at the Westgate.
Yes. And I now have my favorite view of Las Vegas. We're on the side of the hotel that faces away from the Strip.
And we're on the edge of town.
Right. So we're looking out towards the mountains.
Yeah, and there's been rain. It's really weird rain. There's like water and everything is falling from the sky.
Yeah, the sky is leaking.
And so we've got these gorgeous cloudscapes out there.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Yeah. So, all right, I'm gonna try to be a little less cranky. Love our listeners.
Yeah, I love our listeners too. Let's hug.
Right. So, one thing, we teased it this morning. If you've already listened to TDO from Wednesday.
Thank you.
Yeah. We sort of teased the idea of talking about how so far, and this is we just said we haven't been to the show floor yet, but what we have been to are the pre-show shows.
Yes. So that CES Unveiled and Pepcom.
Yeah. And yep. Bluetooth, Discover Bluetooth.
Yep, Discover Bluetooth.
And then you did the startup thing. Not that that's ever an Apple event.
No. Well, it ties into Apple in that a lot of the products will have, say, like iPhone support.
Right, that makes sense.
But other than that, yeah, it's not an event that you go to find Apple stuff.
Like last year, and certainly it's hard to be sure how much of this is the interest and obsession and projections that we're bringing into the event. But last year, Apple Watch loomed over the show.
Yo, totally.
It really felt like Apple Watch loomed. It's like Apple Watch was on everybody's mind, either what they're doing with Apple Watch or why you should care about their product instead of Apple Watch or you know, how their product is different from Apple Watch, because Apple Watch had been announced but not introduced, not shipped.
Right. Right. So we knew what it was going to look like. We knew what it was going to mostly cost.
And its basic features.
Right.
We had this idea that Apple was really turning to jewelry for wearables instead of focusing on the geeky aspect of it. And that really felt like that loomed over the show. And so far this year, I'm not feeling Apple looming.
No, neither am I. I feel there's a representation for Apple compatible products, but Apple is not looming over this event.
No, there tons of Apple. I mean, like, you go into any kind of CES thing, close your eyes and throw a rock, wait for the security guards. But while you're waiting for the security guards, you probably will have hit someone that is involved with some kind of Apple product. There's plenty of Apple products being represented here. But what we don't have is we don't have Apple itself looming.
And right.
I would say that's been the case every CES I've been to.
Right. And even though we haven't been on the floor yet, the pre-expo events that we've been to historically have been a good gauge about what the overall feel of CES was going to be.
Very representative.
And at those events, I haven't felt that looming Apple presence.
Me neither. And that's interesting. I don't know if it's because Apple is doing something wrong. I mean, Apple did. So one of the things that Apple likes to do for CES is announce stuff.
Right.
That then gets talked about a lot more than CES stuff. We had this week so far, we had, Apple announced today it's
App Store sales for the holidays.
Right. Record App Store sales for the
yes,
holidays.
Yes. Mostly Pedantic.
And, so that was at least one salvo from Apple, but then we also had the Ford announcement.
Right. Yeah. Ford is saying that, or not saying, they have announced that their entire product line for 2016 will include CarPlay support.
Right. But that was a Ford announcement, and that was actually done in context with, it was done in concert with CES itself. By the way, my voice is hammered.
Yeah, my voice is not doing well either. The cigarette smoke is just killing me. You know what I really want?
Do tell.
I want the spacesuits that they have in The Martian, and I just want to wear that around all the time.
No, I got a way better idea for you, man. I got a way better idea for you. We get you one of those big balls, big, like, you know, 7 feet tall balls, and put you inside it, and you can just roll around. Yeah.
You want to put me in a giant hamster ball?
Yes, totally. Totally. You'd be totally protected from all the smoke.
Actually, I kind of like this idea, too. Can you imagine me rolling through the casino on the way over to the to CES, and then running my way down the aisles to booths and trying to get into a booth and knocking displays over? Oh, this is going to be the best.
Frequently and often. Your question was, can I imagine?
Yeah.
My answer is frequently and often. excuse me. But yeah. So voice is hammered. But CarPlay was done in concert with CES. It's going to be a big part of Ford's presence on the show floor. And Apple's App Store announcement is certainly enough to get some attention. But I'm going to keep coming back to this idea that Apple itself isn't looming over the show. And is that a problem?
I don't know. It could be, but
it's different.
It's just different. That I can definitely agree with. It's definitely different. It has been weird going by booths where they talk about, hey, we have this refrigerator and it has automatic shelves and disco lights inside or whatever. Oh, and it's compatible with the Apple Watch.
Right.
And last year and the year before, every product you saw, they would end with, oh, and it's compatible with Apple Watch, or and it's compatible with iPad.
Right. Well, and like I said, there's tons of Apple there's tons of Apple product representation here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like we're not seeing Apple specific products, because we're seeing a ton of them. I mean, that's not the deal. But it's like, maybe it's because what we're seeing is for stuff that's already been announced. So it's,
yeah, that could be.
It's not. It's like the so, like, you know, you go back to 2010, and iPad was looming over the show.
Right. Yeah, that's true, because we didn't actually have the iPad yet.
Right. Well, it hadn't even been announced yet.
Yeah, that's true.
But there were 72 jillion people who all had, you know, tablets.
Right. Because
everybody knew that it was coming. Wait, right. Or am I getting that mixed up with 2011? Was it 2011 when there were all the vaporware?
It might have been 2010. I can't remember, but one of those 2 years, I spent a substantial part of one day just going by booths to look at vaporware tablets.
Yeah. Most of which were off and we couldn't touch. You couldn't touch.
Right. Yeah. And if I pulled out my camera to take a photo, they would freak out.
Yeah. Which was really weird, because that's what this event is for.
I know. It's crazy. Yeah. And it's not like I was going to be stealing some sort of proprietary secrets from them, because
they didn't have any.
Right. There were none. Yeah. It was a mock-up that looked like everyone else's mock-up.
Yeah. And, you know, with other years, I don't know. I clearly I can't put my finger on it, and yet clearly it's bothering me. So I don't know. Maybe we'll have some more clarity on this once we get on the show floor, and we can talk about it next week.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. And yeah, that's a good plan.
And but there's been one other surprising thing, and Rick Allen, who is officially slotted in right now as my favorite listener of all time.
Rick is pretty awesome.
Yeah,
we love you, Rick.
You know what you did, Rick. He asked us to look for iPad Pro accessories.
Right, which I thought was an awesome suggestion.
Yeah.
It's not like we weren't going to be looking, but because Rick pointed it out, it was something that we were really paying attention to. And Brian, how many iPad Pro accessories have you seen so
Nothing.
Far?
Not a single thing.
Okay, so it's not just me.
I haven't seen a keyboard. I haven't seen a case. Haven't seen styluses that are compatible with iPad Pro, which would be, you know, ridiculous because, you know, duh.
Right.
That's the sort of thing, by the way. That's the sort of thing that we can expect to see at CES, is people making, you know, silly claims to sort of, like, you know, ride Apple's coattails.
Right.
But haven't seen that in conjunction with the iPad Pro. Haven't seen a single accessory for the iPad Pro, specifically for the iPad Pro.
No, I haven't seen anything at all. Now, with the expo floor open now, that could change later today.
Be interesting to see if we see a lot of styluses. But we haven't seen styluses at the pre-show events.
No. And a couple years ago, it was probably like 3 years ago, styluses were a huge thing.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen a single stylus. The closest that I came to seeing a stylus was LiveScribe was at, I think, last night's event. And they don't do a stylus. They do a smart pen.
Right. And they were showing off the Moleskin edition.
Oh, I should have gone over to check that out because I have that Moleskin fetish.
You do? I did not check them out because you were in the room.
I had to. I ran out of time.
Yeah, LiveScribe, man. LiveScribe is one of those products that had a very narrow window for being potentially indispensable.
Right. Yeah. You know, I think for some people, it's still a really great product, but there's a substantial part of that market that's moved on to iPads.
Yeah, or
smart, other tablets,
the smartphones. Even.
Yeah,
you know, the phablets.
Now, what everyone missed, because you can't look close enough at your speaker to see it. When Brian said the P word, he looked over and he gave me that smile that I could describe, but then I'd have to put an explicit tag on the show.
Anyway, nonetheless, my LiveScribe was showing off the Moleskin thing. You should find out if that's actually worthy of your interest.
Yeah, I'll see if I can get a look at it on the floor today or tomorrow.
All right, so we're not seeing Apple looming over the show. We're not seeing any iPad Pro accessories, like not a single one so far. I'm sure that there are going to be some cases and stuff on the show floor.
That's my expectation. I'm betting we will probably see people showing off keyboards that they are saying are iPad Pro compatible.
I would be shocked if they're not somewhere on the show floor. But we have not seen them in the pre-show events. And the pre-show events are they're press only, by the way. So like the only people that can get into them are the press. It's not for retailers. It's not for distributors.
Right.
Is that actually true? Am I lying?
The events that we've been at so far are media only.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm glad I'm not lying because I don't like to lie. And they're usually filled with, you know, with small companies who were just looking for that leg up. They're fantastic events for us in the press because we get to meet with a lot of people in a very concentrated area without the rigmarole of the booth.
Right. And yeah, everyone is there for the exact same reason.
Yeah.
It's all media related.
Yeah. And so, I mean, they're just fantastic events for us to be at. And the companies that are usually there are the companies that are they're really wanting to get that chance to get the attention of people so that they can get some coverage, right? And that's honestly the kind of place that I would expect to see people pushing an iPad Pro specific product, but we like I said, we just haven't seen it.
Haven't seen anything. Mm. I was surprised that at the events we've been at, we haven't seen more Apple Watch related stuff.
Too. Yeah, Dave mentioned a case he saw.
Yeah, Dave saw a case. The company that does the really high tech hearing aids that connect to your iPhone for controlling.
Yep.
They showed me their Apple Watch app this year, and those are the only two Apple Watch related things that we've encountered so far.
Yeah, we might have missed a couple of things, but we wouldn't have missed them all.
No,
we wouldn't miss them. There's just not a lot of stuff. All right, so we won't know more about the show floor itself until, quite frankly, later today.
Right.
So we will report back. We'll be talking more about it on TDO in the mornings.
Yes, we will. Yeah, because today's Wednesday, so that means we have two more TDOs at CES.
Well, yes.
Yes, because yes. Today's is already live.
Yes, thank you. Got it. I'm so with you now. So we will report back some more later this week, and then we'll probably talk about it, unless it's actually just a complete dud, in which case actually we'll talk about that.
Yes. There'll be something to talk about. We just don't know what it is yet.
Yeah, we just don't know what it is yet, right? So how about we actually look at some of the top things that we have seen.
All right. I like that. And you're looking at me, so you want me to start?
Apparently, yeah.
Okay. All right. So this is something that I've already mentioned on TDO, but it's one of the top things I've seen. And it's the Vivi EpiPen smart case.
Yeah, you're pretty delighted with this.
I am. It's okay. So the deal is, it's a smart case that you put an EpiPen in. So it's, you know, it's a tube, and it has a location tracker in it. So you hopefully won't lose your pen. If you leave home without it, it'll alert you so you can go back and grab it. It has a temperature monitor, so if your pen gets too hot or too cold, it will alert you, which is important because then you have to replace your pen. And if you have to pop the lid and pull the pen out, it alerts your emergency circle of people.
Hmm.
And brings up on your screen a thing where you can call your top emergency person. You can just tap a button and it calls 911, has another button or another space where it's showing the closest hospitals. And it's great. And what I really like about it is that this is, I think, a really powerful use of technology that ties back into our iPhones for health.
It's ungratuitous smarts.
Yes.
It's a smart device, but it's not a smart device to be a smart device. It's a smart device to actually serve an important function and improve, in this case, actually improve the life of someone.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this is like a life or death product sort of thing.
And there a lot of times,
and I'm not being hyperbolic.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. And a lot of times when we see smart devices, it's people like you know, looking for a reason to make a smart device.
Right. And this felt like a product where people realized they have the ability to take advantage of smart devices, and that was really cool because it's not just, oh, hey, we can use tech for the sake of tech.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that to me is a good thing. I will mention, we kind of briefly mentioned this during one of our TDOs, but I'm going to go ahead and mention it now so that you can't bring it up.
Okay.
Marbotic.
I knew you were going to go there.
Smart Life. By the way, did you, I realized when I wrote up a written piece for this yesterday that it's two different products. There's the Smart Numbers and Smart Letters.
Oh, I thought they were combined as a single thing.
Right. So did I. I thought it was all Smart Letters and was actually in that, you know, they're French. So, you know,
yeah, there you go.
But it turns out there's a package called Smart Numbers and there's a package called Smart Letters. But what these are wooden blocks, in the shape of letters and numbers. And they're painted in addition to that. And they've got a little handle on the top of them. And on the bottom of them are sensors. And those sensors allow a kid to press down with the block on an iPad screen and input that letter or that number.
Yeah, I like the way you described it as it was like a physical reinforcement of learning.
Well, they're tapping into cause and effect.
Yeah, there we go. Cause and effect. That's what you said.
Kids,
I really like that.
Kids are often fascinated by cause and effect because they're realizing, you know, that stage of learning when you realize, oh, wait a minute, I do something and then something happens. I like that. That's empowering, right? Mm-hmm. They're tapping into that in a way that I've not seen on any other iPad educational or app or learning thing, and there are some great educational apps for iPad. There's a lot of really cool stuff out there, but this to me takes everything to a new level, and it's just, I don't know, it was seeing. Watching these products being used, I had a very visceral reaction to it.
You did. And I mean, you made a point to take me back over to their little booth so that I could see what they were doing.
Yep.
And then my eyes lit up.
Yeah. And you kind of needed to see it. It was kind of hard to, you need to see it.
Yeah.
And the piece we'll have this in the show notes. The piece I posted has a video. Speaking of which, by the way, we've been posting photos and videos.
We have.
On Instagram.
Right. And and we have those linking back into our Twitter feed, so you can see them there too.
Right. And I'm a Geektels, that's T-E-L-L-S, on the Instagram, and I'm Team O'Brien on the Twitter.
And I am Jay Gamut on the Twitters and on the Instagrams.
That's good. That's good. All right. Do you have another one?
Yes. And I'm trying to decide which one I want to talk about next, because it's just going to be kind of a bit of a rehash, but I was really excited about what Lego is doing for education level, like grade school education level for learning programming. They have a new kit that you can build out a robot and then program from your iPad. And I was really impressed with that, not just because it's Lego, but because it makes the concepts of programming very accessible and very friendly. Like, so much so, as I was watching it, I could envision adults using this children age kit to learn the concepts of writing a computer program.
All right. This is impressive. I remember, by the way, when I was a wee lad,
mm-hmm.
getting really cranky when my friends would make a wall by stacking one Lego on top of the other and then having those be next to each other. And they wouldn't alternate them, right? They wouldn't.
Oh, that's horrible.
It would just drive me nuts. Like, why that is the wrong way to do the Legos. What are you doing?
Lego bricks. Wrong way to do the Lego bricks.
You know,
mostly pedantic.
I'm kind of appalled that I don't want to get behind your pedantry on this. But
oh, I see. You're selectively pedantic.
I am selectively mostly pedantic, but I believe that the language is a changing, living thing.
Does your name change over time, Brian?
Yeah, it does. Well, of course, it does.
The Lego name doesn't.
Yeah, it does, because people say Legos.
It's still Lego bricks.
No, it's not.
Do you use Adobes? Do you use the Adobes?
No one says that.
Well, I'm going to start saying it now.
Well, all right, you can do that, but that still won't make it. The vast majority of people are going to say Legos.
Only in the United States. The rest of the world calls them Lego.
Is there Lego bricks? Is there a rest of the world? There is other?
Well, save me, people.
So Carnot, another French company. Marbotic is a French company, by the way.
Uh-huh.
There were lots of French companies at the CES Unveiled event.
Yeah, there were. And I'm used to seeing a lot of French companies at CES in general.
Yeah. Nonetheless, Carnot was doing my other favorite thing. Now, we did talk about this. Probably don't need to go into it a lot, but I am just super fascinated. They're putting a computer in a radiator, network-connected computer. You have to actually plug it in by there's no Wi-Fi. Did you know that? It's Ethernet only.
Interesting.
Yeah. So it's enhances the security that way. And what they do they're leasing out time on this heater in your house. This heater that's a computer with a radiator stuck to it. They're leasing out time to, banks and rendering animation houses, et cetera. Anyone that would normally buy time on some kind of server farm, a rendering farm or, whatever, in a data center. And the waste heat that comes from those kinds of heavy duty computational exercises is turned into a product that actually helps people, which is heats their home.
Which is cool.
It is cool. I'm fascinated by the idea. I mean, it's still early. They only have 350 units out there. They're expensive. They're $3,761, 3,500 euros, which is right now about $3,760. And that's a lot of money to pay. They're paying for your electricity. So if you used it long enough, you would actually eventually have not only the heater paid for, but all of your heat having been paid for too. But the price should come down as they're eventually able to scale. Mm-hmm. It's still early days. It's just such an interesting idea. I just love this idea of turning a waste byproduct of heat, which normally has to be air conditioned at great expense in a data center. And they're turning that into something that's useful. And that just has such huge potential for the environment, I'll call it, and for the economy. It is a more efficient use of resources.
That's really cool.
Yeah, it is.
All right, I have another one that I found that I thought was really cool, and it's from a company called Vinly. And it's a little box that plugs into the data port on your car. So it does the stuff like a lot of these other products do, where it monitors your car activity and status of the vehicle and tracks your location, that kind of stuff. But it also has a Wi-Fi hotspot built in. So when you turn your car on, in addition to having all of that other kind of stuff happening, you now have a Wi-Fi connection that you can use right in your car.
You know, I missed that when you were telling me about this 2 days ago.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. And they've designed it so you can load apps onto it, so it can have enhanced functionality, depending on what apps you use. So it turns your regular car basically into like a smart car with its own Wi-Fi connection.
That's overselling it, man. That's totally overselling it. Because your car, I mean, you can't like start self-driving your car. You don't
have it's not smart car
functionality. It's not controlling your heater and your, you know.
Okay, it's not controlling your heater and stuff, but it adds new functionality, and it uses your smartphone display, so you don't need to have an extra display in your car to be able to take advantage of the types of data that it's collecting for you. And but Wi-Fi right in your car.
Yeah. Because you need that while you're driving.
Yeah. Well, okay. So in my case, I look at it and I think, okay, well, there's more than just me in my personal life. And so a lot of times when I'm driving around, there's a couple other people in the car. And oftentimes that includes a teenage boy. And when the boy needs, because that's how they see it, when the boy needs to have his internet access so that he can be streaming stuff, instead of chewing through the data cap on his iPhone, he can use the Wi-Fi in the car.
Fair enough. And you could do stuff like, you could, you know, as the driver, you could stream Apple Music or Spotify.
Yeah.
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 How much is it?
I don't remember.
Totally didn't have the microphone in front of my face.
Yeah. That's all right. Because I really cannot remember what it costs. It was reasonably priced.
$50 reasonably?
Or I'm going to say like $100.
$100. Okay. Plus or minus.
Plus or minus.
Yeah.
Yeah. There is a margin of error in this.
There's totally a margin of error. All righty. We have a lot to do today. We should probably cut the show a little bit shorter than we normally would.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you on that. Yeah, we have people to see and places to go. So
it is a busy week.
Yeah. All right. Well, how about if we make music happen and then we can leave? Here we go. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add a question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. Our bandwidth is provided by CashFly. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us. And that's all for this week.
And stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer.
I don't even know.